And I do believe I have Congressman Tom Rice on the air with us. How are you, Congressman Tom Rice?
I'm doing great on this beautiful morning.
Yeah, it is a beautiful morning. I don't know what it is down there, but it's 60 degrees up here in Greenwood today.
It's pretty close there. I saw the high supposed to be about 71 here in Myrtle Beach. Y'all come on down.
Yeah, I'd love to come on down. I tell you what, nothing would be better. I even understand things are going so well down there that Myrtle Manor got renewed.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know how accurate a reflection of Myrtle Beach, Myrtle Manor is, but Myrtle Beach is a fun place to be. I bet you've been here once or twice.
Absolutely, I have. And you had, even with all the snow last week, I understand you had the big race down there.
We did, and I think it came off without a snafu, and that's a wonderful thing. A lot of happy people.
Absolutely. Well, we wanted you to call in for a couple of reasons. One of them was to talk a little bit about this STOP Act, and now you have over 100 sponsors on it. In a nutshell, what's it all about, Tom?
Well, you know, last summer, when the president announced he was going to unilaterally extend the employer mandate under Obamacare, and, you know, the mandates, the Supreme Court has ruled that the mandates are a tax. That's how they rule Obamacare was constitutional. They said the mandates were a tax. And for the president to be able to unilaterally extend a tax, I said, good grief, how can he possibly do this? See, I'm a tax lawyer and a CPA. So I went to some legal experts at the Congress, and I said, surely he can't do this, and what can we do short of impeaching him to make him simply comply with the law? You know, the president took an oath to protect and defend the Constitution, and the Constitution provides for a separation of powers. That's what protects our freedom.
Yes.
Nobody, the power doesn't rest with any one person. And so for the president that want to be able to make the law and enforce it as well, he's not protecting and defending the Constitution. He's shredding it. He's wiping his feet on the Constitution. And he keeps pressing that further and further. You know, when he says things like, I've got a pen and I've got a phone, if Congress doesn't act on my agenda, then I'm going to enact the law myself. Those are very bold and very clear assertions that he's not bound by the Constitution. So he is absolutely violating the terms of the framework of the government that our founding fathers set up to protect our freedom, and I believe the prosperity of this country came from our freedom. I think we need to do everything we can to uphold that framework and protect our freedom, and that's why I did this. What the STOP Act says is that if a majority of the House votes to do this, then the House as an institution will bring a lawsuit to have the president comply with the law. Now, why didn't I do impeachment? The reason I didn't, the reason I asked him to do short of impeachment is because I know that requires a vote of the Senate. And Harry Reid and the Senate Democrats, they're not concerned with upholding the Constitution. That's not their focus. Their focus is on protecting the president. So I knew that impeachment was not going to happen. But this can and very likely will happen. When I first filed it, I went and talked to some of the leadership, and their response is, golly, suing the president, that kind of radical. And my response was, really, it's not. What the president is doing is radical. When the president's saying, look, I'm not going to be, you know, I took an oath up to protect and defend the Constitution, but I'm not going to be bound by it, that's radical. When one person thinks they have the power to both enact the law and enforce it, that's radical. And I don't think what we're doing is radical at all.
Now, he just moved the employer mandate, so there is another example of him not abiding by the law, correct?
Well, that's the second time. You know, my background, I'm a tax lawyer and a CPA. And for him to say, okay, you know, the Congress enacted a tax. It was to take effect January 1st of 2014. And then him say, well, you know what? I'm just not going to apply that tax. He has absolutely no right to do that. I'm not sitting here saying that presidents don't have the right to do executive orders. Surely they do. I mean, they have some discretion in enforcing the law. They can say, you know, they can issue an executive order to clarify a law, to say how we're going to enforce it. But here, and people always throw out, well, gosh, this president has done fewer executive orders than other people. That's fine. It's not the number of them, it's the character of them. And here the president is issuing executive orders that are absolutely in opposition, in contradiction to existing law. And he has no power to do that. If the president can say, I'm going to waive this tax, or keep in mind, he's done things like say, I'm going to waive the $60 fee for bailing out insurance companies. I'm going to waive that against my friends at the unions. But I'm going to strictly enforce the mandates against the little sisters of the poor. You know, I'm going to apply the tax away to the people I want to, and I'm not going to apply it to my friends. Think of the implications of that. I mean, if a president can do that, does that mean that the next president could say, well, you know what, I think that anybody contributing to my campaign, I'm not going to apply the maximum tax bracket to them? Okay. Or could the president say, I think the capital gains rate's too high, therefore I'm not going to apply it at all? Or I don't like any of the taxes under the Obamacare, therefore I'm not going to apply them. I mean, if President Obama has the right to do that, why does the next president not have the same right? Clearly, he's so far outside of his bounds, it's just ludicrous that something like this hadn't happened before now. This is a very interesting time in our history. I'm so very proud to be there and in Congress and trying to defend our freedom, and I just appreciate the people of South Carolina who put me there, and I'm going to do everything in my power to represent them well and protect our freedom.
Absolutely. Now, Tom, just where is the STOP Act? Where is it right now, in committee, or is it a bond? Is it coming up for a vote, or where is it?
Well, as I told you, at first the leadership was a little hesitant about it, but it's kind of bowled them over. I mean, the thing is, the president, in terms of getting co-sponsors, I've got 108 right now, at least that last I heard. I get more every day. But the president's, the person who's getting me the co-sponsor is not me, it's the president. Every time he says something like, you know, I'm not going to wait for Congress, or I've got a pen and a phone, I'm going to go around Congress, I get 15 more co-sponsors. So he's doing a great job of drumming those up for me. But I think there's a recognition in the House of Representatives at this point that we have to respond. I think that the president's pressed this to the point that the leadership has no choice but to respond. There's going to be I need to get a vote.
Right.
And I would appreciate if all your listeners out there would contact their friends around the country, make sure their congressmen are on this thing. All the South Carolina Republicans are co-sponsors. And everybody needs to contact John Boehner and Eric Cantor and tell them, look, we've got to have a vote on this. But I think we're going to get a vote on it at this point. I think that we're going to have to. There's going to be a hearing in the Judiciary Committee either next week or the week after. They've asked me to be a witness to talk about congressional standing in this in particular. But there have been a number of law professors and constitutional lawyers who have written articles about this since it came out, and they're pretty uniform in that we do have standing and that we need to do it because Obama's pressed this so very, very far.
Sure.
But there's going to be a hearing in Judiciary, and if we get through that, and I think we will, I have heard no proposals that sound more reasonable and logical than this. And then the House Admin Committee will be the committee that will actually have to bring the lawsuit. It's been assigned to their committee, and the chairman of that committee is one of my co-sponsors, and I'm anxious to have the hearing. So it'll come down to leadership and when they allow us to do it. So, have your listeners call the office of the Speaker of the House and the Majority Leader, and write and email and let them know that we want a hearing on this, and you'll see it proceed. I really believe that the president has already softened his tack a little on the as a result of this act coming up and getting support it has, and I'm proud of that, and I'm going to keep pushing it, and hopefully we'll get out of the House, get a vote on it, and I think that'll be a great moment for the public to focus on this. I think when the House votes on it, we say, look, our president is very clearly and overtly violating our Constitution. And think of how fundamental that is to your freedom. I think that'll be a great moment for the public to see what's going on in Washington and maybe refocus a little bit the fundamentals. And then when we get a hearing in the courts, I think that'll be another one of those moments. So now I'm really, really excited about it. I don't think it could go any better. And again, I wish we didn't have to do it. The stop resolution is not my primary focus in Washington. My primary focus in Washington is trying to bring jobs to this country and to South Carolina.
Sure.
And I feel like we're chipping away at some of the things we need to do to make this country competitive. That's my primary focus. But the stop resolution is a very timely thing as well.
Yes, one thing I wanted to ask you, Tom, how'd you come up with this? I mean, you're a freshman, and here you are coming up with this big big act right here. This is pretty impressive for a freshman.
Well, you know, I practiced tax law for 25 years, and so I may be a freshman congressman, but I'm not a freshman in negotiation. I'm not a freshman in mediation. I'm not a freshman in complex business transactions. I'm not a freshman in getting things done. So no, I hear what you're saying. I'm proud of what we're getting accomplished. This is just one little thing that we've gotten done in our first year in Congress for the whole state and for the country. And I'm proud of where we are. And let me tell you, we've got some great congressmen from South Carolina. Trey Gowdy, wow, he is a superstar. Mick Mulvaney, golly, a brilliant man. Mark Sanford, certainly a leader in conservative values. Jeff Duncan, I mean, all these people are just, Joe Wilson. Gosh, I was walking through the Capitol with Joe Wilson probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we were walking from the House floor through the rotunda to the Speaker's office. It took us 30 minutes. It should have taken us 3. The reason is because every 3 steps, somebody would walk up to Joe Wilson and say, "Wow, you were right. Wow, you're my hero." So, no, the South Carolina delegation, the people of South Carolina have a lot to be proud of, and I think they represent us well.
Well, you know, one question I wanted to ask you, Tom, is if this is the legislation is advanced, it says it's non-binding and would not need Senate approval. And why is that?
It is binding. I don't know why it says non-binding. It is binding. If it passes by a majority of the House as an institution will bring the lawsuit. It does not require Senate approval. It's just that the House is going to bring it. You know, it's basically for vote nullification, that the House voted on these laws, and the Senate voted on them, and the President signed them into law, and now the President's choosing not to enforce the very laws that we passed and he signed. You know, that he has no power to do that. So that the House is voting for vote nullification, and it does not require a vote of the Senate. That's the beauty of it. Harry Reid can't stop it. Assuming we get a majority vote in the House, and I think we will, all we got to do is get a vote. So tell your listeners, let John Boehner and Eric Cantor know we need a vote.
I'm sensing that John Boehner doesn't want to bring this forward.
Well, again, I spoke with some leadership early on, and they thought it was radical, and I told them that's not radical. What's radical when you have the President standing up at the State of the Union address saying, "Look, Congress, if you don't enact the laws that I want, then I'm going to enact them without you." That, you know,
radical.
What the President, more clear English words for that are, "Look, Congress, I know I took an oath to uphold the Constitution, but I'm going to violate it." That's radical. When the President stands up in front of the American people and says, "I'm not bound by the Constitution, I'm going to do what I want," that's radical.
Absolutely. Now, one of the other things, I saw your poll that you put out to your constituents down there, and, you know, they're talking about immigration reform. I found it very interesting that was not a major focus on your folks from down there on the coast.
No, you know, I can tell you the 3 most important issues in my district that have been this way for the last 5 years, and that's jobs, jobs, and jobs. And, you know, I know certainly the debt, the country's debt and deficit is a huge issue, and the economy is a huge issue, but jobs, jobs, and jobs is my focus. And I think the president's policies have been an utter failure. The the 2 years that the Democrats held the House and the Senate and the presidency, they passed two of the biggest job-killing, government-expanding, regulation-expanding laws in the last 50 years. Those were Dodd-Frank and Obamacare. And with all those additional regulations, we should not be surprised that, and with all those additional taxes and with all those additional costs, we shouldn't be surprised the economy is limping along and job production is almost non-existent. So I'm doing what I can to tear those back and make this country more competitive. I have a friend who's become a friend since I've been in Congress who is a professor at Harvard University, Michael Porter. His family is from South Carolina. He's a brilliant man, brilliant. Got an undergraduate degree from MIT, a master's in economics from Harvard, and doctorate from Harvard. Been a professor there for 30 years. He's like 65 years old. He's written 12 books on national competitiveness. He represents countries like Australia and Sweden, and I've brought him to Congress. I've done 6 events with him. I've got him in front of 80 congressmen to educate them, Democrats and Republicans, on what it takes to make this country competitive and why we're losing jobs to other countries, why companies choose to go elsewhere. So I'm actually trying to work a little bit with I'm trying to work as much as I can with the other side, because I think Democrats particularly and Republicans as well both need to be educated on what we need to be focused on to bring jobs back to this country.
I don't think I could agree with you any more than that. And how do you feel the working relationship? You've been there, I think, a year now. How is the working relationship? Has there been a shift? Is there any more working together, or is it as divided as it was maybe when you first went there?
Honestly, I think there may be a little more appetite for working together coming out of that shutdown than there was before then. But I hope that that's true, and I promise you that, I'm certainly conservative, and I'm certainly going to work to protect our constitutional values and our freedom, but I also recognize that if we're going to get anything done, we've got to get participation from both sides. So you better believe I'm going to be working with both sides to try to make things happen to bring jobs back to this country.
Absolutely. And what did you think of Governor Haley's announcement of, Torrey, that's just moving into Spartanburg, Moore area?
Every job that we can bring in South Carolina that is a, high-paying job, is I'm proud of it. I was chairman of Horry County Council for 2 years before I went to Congress and helped put together an economic development corporation to make this county competitive, and 1,400 jobs have been announced in the last 2 years, and I'm so proud of that. I'm trying to spread it throughout my district and throughout the state. I'm doing everything I can to let people know. I think South Carolina is going to be one of the most competitive places in the world if we keep going the way we are in terms of companies locating. And if I can just, I know I'm not going to make radical reform overnight. If I can just move the needle a little bit nationally to make this country think about what it needs to do to be competitive, I think that the sky's the limit. I think we've got a bright, bright future. I think we'll stop hemorrhaging jobs and start bringing them back.
Absolutely. Well, Congressman Tom Rice, I really appreciate you taking time. I know you're at home this week enjoying the weather and everything, but thank you so much for taking time with us on WCRS.
Enjoy it very much. Let me know when you want me back on.
All right. Thank you so much, Congressman Tom Rice. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.